Now on to something the Linux kernel community should genuinely be proud of. After 6 years of sustained effort and 360 separate patches, the Linux kernel has officially removed the StrengthPy API. For listeners less familiar with C, StrengthPy is a string copying function that has been part of the C standard library since what feels like the dawn of computing, and it has a subtle but dangerous behavior that's caused buffer overflow vulnerabilities for decades. When you copy a string with strengthpy and the source is longer than the destination buffer, the function writes up to n bytes but doesn't guarantee null termination. That means your destination buffer might not have the string terminator it needs, and code that reads from it later can walk right off the end of valid memory.
What makes this story remarkable from an organizational perspective is the sheer scale of the coordination required. 360 patches across 6 years means dozens of maintainers and contributors systematically working through every use of this function in an enormous code base. The Linux kernel has something like 35 to 40 million lines of code at this point. Finding every string call, understanding the context, writing a safe replacement, and getting each change reviewed and merged, that's an extraordinary amount of accumulated work for what, from the outside, might look like a refactoring cleanup.
The replacement functions, things like strspy, which does guarantee null termination and returns an error code if truncation occurs, are genuinely safer because the error is visible. With strengthpy, the dangerous case is silent. With strengthpy, if your string gets truncated, you get a return value that tells you. That's the kind of change that prevents whole categories of bugs. The HN discussion had kernel developers talking about how this kind of systematic cleanup is what separates actively maintained infrastructure from legacy codebases that accumulate risk over time.
One commenter made a point I thought was particularly sharp. They noted that the difficulty wasn't finding the calls to replace. It was that some of the uses of StrengthPy were intentionally using the non-null terminating behavior as a feature. Certain binary data structures genuinely wanted a fixed-size field that didn't need null termination. Those cases required not just mechanical replacement, but actual understanding of intent.
The EPOL versus IO Euring comparison getting traction on HN right now touches on a related theme, how Linux handles asynchronous IRO, and why it matters enormously for high-performance servers. EPOL has been the workhorse for event-driven network programming on Linux for roughly 20 years. It lets a program monitor many file descriptors simultaneously and be notified when any of them become ready for reading or writing, which is how servers like Nginx handle thousands of concurrent connections without spawning thousands of threads.
IO Euring is newer. It arrived in Linux 5.1 in 2019, and it takes a fundamentally different approach. Instead of having the application make syscalls to ask, is this ready yet? IO Euring uses a pair of ring buffers shared between the kernel and user space. You submit operations to one ring, the kernel processes them, and results appear in the other ring. The key benefit is that the common path requires zero syscalls. You submit and reap without ever crossing the user kernel boundary, which eliminates a significant source of overhead in I or O intensive applications.
The author's benchmark showed IO Euring pulling meaningfully ahead of EPOL under high concurrency, particularly for workloads with lots of small I or O operations where the syscall overhead of EPOL becomes significant relative to the actual work being done. But there's a maturity argument. EPOL has had 20 years of battle hardening, and IO Euring has had some security concerns in the past that required mitigations. Several HN commenters noted that for most production use cases, the difference is measurable, but not decisive. For a high-frequency trading system processing millions of tiny messages per second, IO Euring is clearly the right choice. For a typical web API server, the difference is in the noise.
The zigzag decoding with AVX 512 post from Zoox.io fits naturally into this thread of performance-focused engineering. AVX 512 is Intel's 512-bit SIMD instruction set. It lets you process 64 bytes simultaneously with a single instruction. Zigzag encoding is a technique used in formats like protocol buffers to encode signed integers efficiently by mapping them to unsigned integers in a way that keeps small values small. The author demonstrates how to decode an entire batch of zigzag encoded values in a handful of vector operations, which is the kind of micro-optimization that matters when you're deserializing millions of records.
What I appreciate about this piece is that it shows the full reasoning, why the naive scalar loop isn't good enough for the specific workload, how to think about the SIMD lane layout, and where the compiler fails to auto-vectorize this particular pattern. These are the details that don't survive summarization, which is why the original article is worth reading directly.
And rounding out the low-level programming stories today, there's a guide to the TD4 4-bit DIY CPU getting quiet appreciation on HN. The TD4 is a simple computer you can build from 74-series logic chips that dates back to a Japanese hobbyist computing book. It's a 4-bit CPU with a tiny instruction set, and building one teaches you how a processor actually executes instructions at the gate level. Philip Zucker's guide walks through the design in detail, and several HN commenters mentioned it as the kind of project that permanently rewires how you think about software. Once you've traced an instruction through gates, the abstraction of a CPU becomes much more concrete.